Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Now we turn to our super friend who I've spent the last 4 days with, I think. Is it four of the last 5 days? He is Daryl Ryder. He's our Browns beat reporter, and he's on the fan hotline. Hello, my friend.
You deserve a badge of courage for that, Baskin.
I'm sorry. As Tom and I were sitting here, I'm like, what have I not talked to Daryl about since the 4 hours we did on Tuesday? Are you getting a chance just to relax a little? That's my big question for you.
Yes, I am. I'm taking time today to shred old documents that I don't need.
Uh-oh. What's going on there?
Yes.
Very, very therapeutic, let me tell you.
Are those the Dylan Gabriel files?
So, funny story. One happened to be the Sue L. Robinson, Deshaun Watson decision. Man. True story. I'm shuffling through.
You might want to hang on to that one.
How many pages was it?
It was like eight.
Hey, so D-Ride, slip on your Browns general manager's cap for a second because I know you got one.
All right.
You going to trade David Njoku?
Depends what I'm getting in return.
What do you want?
I would probably... I'm being very, very unrealistic here. I would probably have to say that I'd want a player. I'd want a receiver, or I'd want a tackle, and not just a player, Tom, but I want that player to be under team control at least for next season.
I know, but that suddenly then starts to minimize your options, doesn't it? I mean, that's the problem because you start looking around for. I was doing the same thing yesterday. I was kind of looking around for wide receivers, whether they're disgruntled or under team control, like you said, right. And there's not a lot to shop for.
I know, but it's just one of those things. Like I feel sitting in Andrew Berry's chair, I feel like it's named my price, right?
I'm with you.
If you want one of my key players, and again, I'm speaking from Andrew Berry's perspective here, but like if you want one of my key players, then I'm going to kind of try and dictate the terms of that.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, Tom. I mean, it is heavily unrealistic that's going to happen, but I just love that Greg Newsom trade so much. I'm not a fan of trading for draft picks right now because, quite frankly, I think the Browns have enough of those. They've got two first-rounders next year. They've got, I want to say, four or five in the top 125 or 150 next year as well.
Yeah, it's like 10 total. They're not going to use them all anyway.
Right, and so I feel like they have plenty of ammunition to do what they need next April to improve the roster. So, yeah, I'm all about naming my price right now, and I would say that would be my price, Tom, for David.
Let me go back to Myles Garrett. And, yeah, I mean, you brought this up right away when, you know, things just didn't feel right on Sunday. I mean, the thought of trading Myles Garrett, it may go through people's heads, but when it comes down to paperwork, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, not only that, he just signed a contract extension. The salary cap hit to trade him is untenable. And also, yeah, there's this little thing called a no-trade clause.
I mean, if he wanted to be traded, well, that's not a big deal. But
I get that, but it's impractical for a variety of reasons. And, you know, I don't know that, you know, Andrew Berry would even entertain such a notion. We saw what Adam Schefter posted yesterday about you got a better chance of winning the lottery than Myles Garrett being traded. And I do agree with that. I will say, though, and you and I talked about this earlier in the week, Andy, I still think that re-signing him and not moving him may have been a mistake by them, just because where they're at in their team building process, you've got him going out there week in and week out, giving you Hall of Fame performances, and you're non-competitive most weeks. Myles Garrett's not your problem.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, the problem's on the other side of the ball. Now, you're not finding another Myles Garrett anytime soon either. Like, let's be very real about that. So, but no, I fully expect that when the trade deadline expires next week, Myles Garrett will still be a Cleveland Brown, and he'll still be spiking helmets at the end of games for the foreseeable future until they get things figured out on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah, maybe put him at tight end. That might solve some things. I don't know.
I want to know if he can play quarterback, Tom.
Yeah, somebody had the picture of him playing quarterback out on social media this week. I was laughing.
So I'm willing to try anything.
I was just going to say, so you've got one of the lowest-ranked offenses that we've seen here, which is saying something in its own right. Okay, yeah. So you want to think, you know, you're obviously not going to jump from being ranked 30, 31st, 32nd, whatever they are, you know, depending on the stat of the day. You're not going to make a huge jump into the top 10, but you want to make some incremental progress here, right? How do you begin doing that, Daryl? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of variables here with the line, the receiving corps, injuries, all of it. Where can they make some strides here over the next couple of weeks?
Well, good news, Cedric Tillman's on the mend, and he's going to be back. Now, I certainly am not going to sit here and act like he's the end-all, be-all, but at least he's above 6 feet
tall. That helps, yeah.
But, you know, like, I mean, I don't know, can we put some lifts in these receiver shoes, make them a little taller, bigger target for Dylan Gabriel to find on the field? You know, quite frankly, they need Jack Conklin to stay healthy. I think that's a big component of it. They need the other tackle spot to find some consistency and settle down. I mean, you've seen the last couple of weeks, Tom, where they have rotated the tackle position.
Yeah, not been good.
Out of necessity, right? I mean, they're just like taking stabs in the dark, trying to find something, anything to stick. And so I think some help on the offensive line, and that's where, you know, Kevin typically does a pretty good job using those tight ends to help out those tackles. The problem is, if you're using the tight ends to help out the tackles, that takes away from a component from your passing game, unless you're doing the block and leak out and throw it into the flat and see if you can make a little something happen there and beat pressure. But, you know, I honestly don't know, because I'm not sold that Dylan Gabriel's equipped to elevate anybody. I can feel the frustration with Jerry Jeudy right now.
Judkins is hurt. Yeah.
Judkins is banged up with the shoulder injury.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know, Tom. I wish I had answers for you other than, well, I don't know. Let's hope the offensive line can be a little healthier and dudes can be available. And, you know, maybe Sed comes back and that gives them a little extra there. The other thing, too, is I want to see them use Harold Fannin even more. I want to see the football thrown to him more. I just, because he reminds me a lot of Njoku in the sense that he's very good after contact. Like, Njoku loves contact. Fannin loves contact. Well, Judkins loves contact too. So you see the effort from those guys trying to break through tackles. So I guess that's the best answer I can kind of come up with, Tom, because I don't think it's, you know, I certainly don't think it's, you know, putting in Shedeur Sanders. I don't think that improves anything at this point, even though I at least will gather you some interest.
All right, Daryl, let's talk about your second favorite subject, the dome. What's going on with PSLs? Like, what's the latest going on with this stuff?
A survey was sent out last week to season ticket holders, basically trying to gauge various price points for these PSLs. And I'm not going to lie, I certainly had sticker shock. Price ranges for the PSLs, remember, this is per seat, range from just over $1,000 to upwards of close to $150,000 if you want to be like front row behind the Browns bench.
Wow.
And Daryl, by the way, you know what survey means. Here's what we're going to do, and this is your warning.
Or the prices will be lowered maybe like I don't know, 5% or something, right?
Right.
And then they also included in the survey various price points. And the
so it's only $145,000 for the PSL. Is that what you're trying to say? For the
well, it depends how close you want to be to
the field.
Yeah, the field there. The Haslams are committing nearly $3 billion to this project, both for the stadium as well as the development. And they're going to want their money back. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, part of this is the model. What was interesting to me, though, is I was comparing to what the Browns put out in the survey to what the Buffalo Bills are doing with their new stadium. And I know Buffalo's near and dear to your heart there, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
The prices are just it's no comparison between the two. I'm personally hoping the Browns have a change of heart and they adopt closer to the Bills.
Buffalo so much less, you're saying?
Yeah. Gotcha. It's significantly less. I mean the
Buffalo got a lot more tax money too, didn't they?
Well, a little bit more.
Yeah.
They got just off the top of my head, I think they got around $1 billion or so. In total, but yeah, and the Browns are going to get about $900 million. I'm sorry, $300 million from Brook Park, $600 million from the state of Ohio. Of course, Cuyahoga County is not participating in the project, so the Browns have gone out and found another $300 million in private financing to cover that gap. But yeah, I'm hoping that they adopt the I'm hoping that the Browns adopt the Bills price points for their dome. I just pulled up the Bills, the most expensive PSL in their stadium is around $50,000, and that is for their, you know, like the old press box.
Does that even get you a free popcorn
section
or anything? Do you get a what do you get for that? You get a plaque? You get a jersey? Yeah. What do you get right for the $50,000? You know,
you get the right to buy tickets.
The right to buy season tickets.
Yeah.
Which also, Bart, going to be expensive as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't
what's
talked
not going to be expensive there?
Yeah. I mean,
looking at it. Looking at it.
Driving by?
Yeah. Flying over it.
Right. If you're allowed to.
I wonder how that plays out for other events outside of the Browns, right? So for, like, if you want to go to a concert, like, I wonder how much concerts are going to be. I wonder if they get college football in there. I mean, they're going to have to do some stuff that's reasonable,
right,
to fill up the dome. I'm still in favor.
Listen,
of,
even for the
I'm
basic
always in
tickets.
Favor of construction. I'm sorry, I'll always be, but. I'm looking at some of these price points,
and I just can't see people having.
No,
you know, I just randomly clicked on because I published all this stuff on X yesterday. I just randomly clicked on one of the screenshots. Okay, and one time PSL $16,350, annual season ticket price is $5,500.
But
this is a per seat price, and again, this is
per
just
seat.
A survey
per
right.
Seat.
I can't imagine having that kind of money laying around.
You're buying one windshield wiper.
Who does?
Right?
Like, how many people do?
Buy one seat and that's it? Yeah, nobody.
No,
that's a car.
They can afford that. I mean,
no.
It's insane.
Oh, who's going to be able to afford it?
Yeah.
I don't know. There could be some.
They're banking on it. Pardon the pun.
Well, at least they changed the law where you can't be black.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Out for games anymore. that they could be walking away from this thing with a lot of empty seats. They price themselves out of it,
yeah,
it's going to be trouble.
Yeah, so an upper deck seat, here you go, an upper deck seat on between the 40s, one-time PSL per seat, $34.50 in this survey, and then the annual season ticket price, $2,000 per seat.
Is there any way they don't do the PSLs?
I was specifically told yesterday that they have not made a final decision.
Okay.
Tom, I can't sit here and say that they're not going to do it because my gut tells me, and I have to stress, this is my opinion, this is my gut. My gut tells me they're going to do PSLs.
Yeah.
Again, they are spending, $3 billion of their own money for this project, or close to $3 billion of their own money. They're going to want some of that back. And how do you get it back? Well, you do the PSLs. And whether you, me, or anyone else likes it, PSLs have been a fact of life in NFL stadium building for years and years and years. I remember when then Jacobs Field, now Progressive Field, was built, one of the funding mechanisms for that, aside from the syntax, was they had those dugout suites behind home plate, and then they did the three levels of suites, around the ballpark. And I think it was a 10-year lease, and they used the revenue from those suites as a funding mechanism for the ballpark. And then once that paid for itself, then the ball club got to enjoy the proceeds from using those suites later on. And so I don't know if that's a way to do it, but I mean, again,
you have to ask yourself, is there enough corporate, we've got to take off here, but is there enough corporate money to fill those suites right now? And think about all the suites that have gone away at the ballpark.
Oh yeah, the Guardians have actually combined suites. I think when it opened, it was like 115 suites. And
it's now the kids club now. Let's be honest; the far end suites are a kids club.
Well,
now
they put the ballpark the scoreboard control room is in a couple of suites.
Sure. Yeah. All right, we got to roll. Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
You bet, guys. Enjoy the bye week.
See you, Daryl.
All right. Well, I do think as we get into the second half of the season here, people are going to want to see what the quarterback options are, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're not happy with Dylan Gabriel, what's the next choice?
You got another rookie.
Yeah.
That you want to put out there behind a decimated offensive line and a shaky wide receiving room. So why not?
All right.
Get him out there.
Why not? James in Akron wants to know what? What do you want to know, James? How are you?
I have a problem with the Browns.
Okay.
You got Gabriel, for whatever reason, we're watching people that open downfield. He can't get the ball to him or refuse to throw to him. I have no idea.
Okay, if he refuses to throw to him, do you think that could be on the coach? I'm just asking.
Well, it's possible.
Okay.
It's possible because I looked at the I tape the games all the time. Mm-hmm. And the games that Sanders looked good in and the one he looked bad in, he didn't have first-string receivers in either one of those games.
No, that's the nature of preseason
games. Yeah. You really can't put too much stock into those.
Yeah, but you got second and third-string receivers. They catch today, and tomorrow they don't catch.
All right.
And we don't know if the receivers we have are good or not. They're talking about we need receivers. The guy that opened downfield, and Gabriel's not getting the ball to him. He's not throwing it to him.
Are they open downfield? I really haven't seen that.
Yes, they are. Ask anybody to watch the games.
I watch the games.
I'm going to say
the games. We got receivers open 20 yards downfield. I'm not talking about 50 yards. A 20-yard pass, this guy don't throw it. Unless he's too short to see him because he's only 5'8". So maybe he can't see him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to find out. I think it's, again, James, I think 4 weeks is not really a long enough evaluation period. And I know
if you're no good. If you're no good, that's more than enough time. I think the Browns are trying to trade for a quarterback right now rather than to play Sanders. That's what they're looking for.
Well, who do you think they're bringing in?
I don't know anybody. They don't care.
You're just saying this is a gut feeling. No one told you. Like, you're not like...
I don't have no inside information, but this is my belief.
James,
If Sanders look get in there and he looks good and he wins, they look terrible because they said he couldn't play.
Oh, they can get back in it.
They have to prove he can't play.
All due respect, these guys want to win, And if they felt like he was going to give them their best chance to win right now, he'd be out there. They don't think he's ready, James. And you know what? You're going to see him at some point. It may be in 2 weeks and maybe in 4 weeks. So be patient.
There are just 2 points that always come back to. How many teams passed on him?
All of them.
All of them, at least four times. And that they wanted Dylan Gabriel in the third round when Sanders was there. So that's where you're at. The worst thing they did to Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders was draft the other guy.
Exactly.
Like, I can't, you ask yourself for trouble, for drama, for not giving either one of these guys enough time to develop early on in the season, for not giving either one of these guys the opportunity to be able to go out there and play quarterback and not have to worry about kind of what's next. How they drafted two quarterbacks between the third and the fifth round will always be the craziest thing I will wonder this forever, because even if you just took Sanders in the fifth round, people would still want to see Sanders the same way they do, and you wouldn't belittle what Gabriel's doing.
Well, and it's only because it's Deion's son. I mean, if they'd taken any other quarterback in the fifth round, I don't think you were having this kind of conversation. Not to this extent, right?
Sure.
Not to this daily drumbeat of can they make the move or not. You know, listen, we talked about it ad nauseum yesterday. We'll add a little bit more onto it today. I still don't think they've seen enough bad out of Dylan. I mean,
until last game, he hadn't thrown an interception, a real interception.
The second half of the New England game was abysmal.
Yeah.
I think he'd be the first to say that. I think this is a great chance during this bye week for him to sit down with the coaching staff, evaluate how he's played. We can all see that he struggled to throw the ball down the field. You don't have to be a football expert to see that.
Right.
It's very evident, right?
There were some games in the last home game where you could, and this is the problem. And I don't think it's a height perception about how tall he is. I think it's actually being on the field perception. There, and like the last caller said, there were times when guys were open and he didn't see it. And I don't know if he didn't see it because he didn't want to see it, or because there were linemen in the way, or it's, you know, we never really talk about.
Or he's being told not to make a mistake.
That's
because
the other problem.
Flacco was
right.
Turnover prone.
Yes.
So that's why he's out there, right?
Right. Like, we want you because you're going to take care of the football, unlike the guy that we just traded to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So I just don't.
I know.
I have DTR flashbacks in this. I have other.
Dude, I've
like,
got
I'm
Tim,
trying
I've
to
got
figure it out.
Tim Couch,
yeah.
Josh Booty, Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel.
We also don't take into consideration, and I haven't really thought about it since Paul McDonald, about having a left-handed quarterback. And how does that change the game? And how does that change things for receivers? How does that change things? I mean, you're kind of reversing. How many times has he rolled out and you're like, oh, that what? Oh, he didn't throw over across himself.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're like, oh, yeah, he's left-handed.
Rolling left and throwing the other way, yeah. I know. They probably have not utilized his skill set. And people argue, what is it at this point? They're trying to figure him out. He's trying to figure them out. He's new to this. You know, three of the four starts have been on the road, right? To your point, Andy, he didn't turn the ball over until last week. I think there's something to be said positively for that. I know the Shedeur Sanders fans out there, and there's a legion of them. They want to see the kid. They will see him. It's going to be, and it might be sooner than later.
I think one of the other bad things for either one of these guys in the evaluation is the fact that Judkins came out of a cannon and looks like he's played in the NFL. Schlesinger came out of a cannon and looked like he's played in the NFL. Fannin came out. I mean, you have had, like, think about the amazing success you've had with some of these other rookies. And I say amazing relative to the fact they have two wins.
Quarterback's different.
Yeah.
And look around the league. It doesn't only just happen here either. It's league-wide. You don't see rookies step in. You know, are there exceptions to the rule? Yeah. Did Jaden Daniels, you know, come out on fire?
Where is he now, though?
On the bench, hurt.
And how did he look before he got hurt?
Not great.
Like a champion. I'm just saying.
Not like he did as a rookie, which is weird.
Let's go to Jim in Cleveland Heights. Hi, Ty.
Hey, yeah, I appreciate you taking the call, y'all. I saw this kid play in college. You know, everybody did. He was great when with no offensive line, and I'm just kind of curious, like, you guys watch enough football, and if obviously the Browns have their opinion. I mean, when you look at those two guys, who do you think is better? And, you know, I know these honkies want to keep my boy on the bench, but what do you think is better? Who do you think is better?
Right now, I don't know. I haven't seen Shador play in the NFL. I watched a couple preseason games, right?
And I'm not sure if he was ever great at Colorado. I saw him throw the ball to the Heisman Trophy winner a few times.
I know this would drive people crazy too. But I thought Will Howard was a pretty damn good quarterback in college, and like people don't even sniff and think that he would be a good I knew if you look at the success he had in college, and then look at the success.
What was that noise I just heard?
No, okay, never mind. Go ahead, play it.
Will.
This was what I was.
You're fawning over Will Howard.
Yeah, I was fawning over him, and then Jeff's like,
"That happens." Oh, Will.
That's Jeff, isn't it? That's
that is all Jeff Phelps.
Yeah. We all have crushes now and again.
It's not. I watched the guy go on the greatest college football run in the history of the game. First time ever. You're never going to get a run like that. He beat all those top 10 teams. They won a national championship, and he bounced back from his mistakes. Like, sorry.
All for it.
Oh, Will.
Thank you. We'll take a break. I'll take more of your phone calls here in a second. Thanks. Is he still hurt? Can we get him?
No, maybe he's off the IR.
Oh, he is?
Yeah,
can we trade the IR. Why don't we trade him and have three rookies in here? That'd be great.
Let's go.
Get him.
Make the move.
Oh, I think Ohio State fans would be excited. Put him back with Quinshon. Get Travion back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.